This is Style Shifter. In the next hour, we will journey into the past, present, and future of personal fashion decisions. My name is Dariam, and every week, you and I will embark on a time machine that operates on self-awareness and stylistic solutions. Our destination? A place from which you can shift from style insecurities towards more confident fashion choices.
We're recording.
Yes.
Welcome everyone to the last episode of the first season of the Style Shifter. So as you can tell, today we're going to try something special, something new. I've put Daria here in the hot seat.
And everyone is like, who is this man?
My name is Mitch and I'm Daria's husband and interviewer for today.
Not only.
What else do I do? Tell the people all the things that I do.
Mitch is working behind the scenes in Wonder Wardrobe, working really hard. He's a marketing director. Yeah, one of the most important people in our team, I would say. And without him, I wouldn't be here. And yeah. Actually, the Style Shifter podcast was purely his idea. It took you, what, like 2 years?
To convince you?
To convince me to do a podcast, yes.
To be on camera more. As if you weren't on camera enough. Like, no, you should be on camera more. Yes. So how should we start today? Because this is as the last episode of the series, I'm going to put you in the Style Shifter time machine. But maybe before that, maybe you tell us, how was this whole season? How did you find? Because I think you recorded around 2015. You talked to 15 very special women, and it was very hard for us to actually decide on the 9 episodes that we did so far. So maybe you tell the people why we picked those episodes and why those stories made it in the first season of Style Shifter?
Good question. Yeah, it's very hard to choose the stories because I think all the stories are quite unique, even though we kind of have the same problems, no matter where we come from. Right, what we do in life, we kind of have the same problems, but the context is always different, and that's what makes the story more interesting, more relatable. So, well, first of all, let's be honest, I wanted to put all of them, but you were the one
who
had to edit and say, no, this story is more relatable, or this story is more important. Or maybe not even, like, we didn't judge it in terms of importance, I think, because they are all quite important. Yeah. But it was also about a person, how a person, what's the energy of the person, because podcast is very different from video, and you need to have charisma in your voice and be interesting and be authentic and honest, and it's not always the case. Sometimes mm-hmm. I had stories that were very interesting, resonated with me.
Give us an example.
Well, one was a story about a woman she was colorblind.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't the actual problem that she had. The actual problem was that she thought that people don't take her seriously, that she looks too young. And we found out that she actually works with children, mm-hmm. and her the parents of the children usually ask, like, how old are you? What's your education? Mm-hmm. You know, and she takes it as a Oh, they don't take me seriously. They think I'm still a child. Yeah. My thought was like, well, if I was a parent and I took my precious child to someone else's hands, yeah, to school or whatever, I would also probably ask about a person's background, yeah, to have some trust. So it's not really always about like the way we look, yeah, but some other things. And then we bring that story, oh, I look like a child, and years and years you repeat the story, you repeat the story, yeah, and it becomes like a fashion problem all of a sudden.
So you'd say the stories we tell ourselves matter a lot in the way we evolve our style.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I think it's all about that. It's all about how we talk to ourselves, yeah, what story we tell. I think it definitely influences the way we dress and the way we feel in general. Yeah, because how we dress is a reflection of our internal.
So the clothes don't really matter as long as the story and the style don't match.
No, sorry, what?
I mean, the story, as long as the story that we have inside ourselves, our perception of ourselves with the way, the style that we want, if they don't match, if they don't match, then it's probably never going to work. No amount of clothes is ever going to fix that.
No, because internal and external should match. That's when you're the most confident about the way you look, because you express the right thing and people get it. It's very simple. But that's where the struggle is, yeah? You need to find this balance to please yourself and also others, so they see you as how you want. Yeah.
I know one of the most interesting stories we had this season was a woman that's leading a community of women, like yourself in a way. And we couldn't include it in the first season because of technical difficulties. The sound was really bad. And what were some lessons, or what would you like people to know about her? Or why? So I didn't want to include her in the podcast. You really wanted to include her in the podcast. So maybe you tell the people in a few sentences why you wanted to have her story here, but unfortunately, because of technical difficulties, we couldn't do it.
Yes, her name was Inesh. She wanted to express kind of like I have a rant about like fashion industry doesn't support women in a way. I needed to support me because she has a very rare disease that only women have, and it means that she needs different clothes for different days, depending on how she feels. She can feel bloated. She says like she can change the size or two sometimes. So she needs trousers in three different sizes, for example. Yeah. Yeah, things like that, that fashion creates either very basic things that may be more comfortable, like yoga pants,
Which
yeah.
is true.
And on the other extreme, it's something like completely uncomfortable. And women have different needs, and they want something in the between, but fashion can't provide them, and they feel like they are mistreated by the industry. And I think she has a valid argument here, and I think fashion industry should definitely try to better understand women's need, because okay, they create clothes for young people. Oh, yeah, okay, youth, great, nice, but it passes, and then women have this body changes, hormones, and things like that, and at the same time they want to look nice. Yeah,
There was
so.
another one I think it's important to mention before we end the season. You spoke to Juana, I believe was her name, just a few days ago. that it's fashion through the lens of ADHD, people that suffer from diagnosed or undiagnosed ADHD. What were your findings in that? I think it's important to share with people because it was a very cool episode that we also won't be able to publish because of bad sound.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation. She shared her story of how she used to treat fashion, that it was a very annoying thing, and it was a she was an impulsive shopper and annoying in a way that she couldn't concentrate on any style. She couldn't understand what suits her. She was just buying and buying and buying shiny things, very attractive, all this stuff. And then at some point she was diagnosed with ADHD. And everything clicked and she was like, oh my God, that's why my relationship with fashion is so bad and it's so annoying. Yeah, because she couldn't figure out anything. And she got my course and it got better. And she said that actually the Wonder Wardrobe course is very ADHD friendly because it has a system. So you take steps. It's very easy for them to go through the program and do that. They don't get bored because it's always something different, something creative. Creativity, she said, is also was very important, not limiting the number of outfits you can have in your wardrobe, not limiting the style you can express or colors. So here you have like a full freedom, which for ADHD brain is very important because they are attracted to new things, shiny things, you know, everything that is like, ooh, they're like, oh, that's nice. The Wonder Wardrobe course helped her a lot. A lot, and then the whole system of changing your capsule wardrobe seasonally, also apparently very good for people with ADHD, because this way they have a more organized wardrobe, first of all, because some of them are, she said, that quite messy because they just don't have enough patience to organize their wardrobe, to keep it clean and tidy, right? But when you have just a small amount of clothes, it's much, much easier to
To
keep it
manage.
organized, to manage. Exactly. It doesn't take that much time to iron your clothes, to put them in hangers and stuff like that. And the other thing she said that yes, this helps this rotating system because you definitely start missing your clothes and then you unpack what you had from other seasons, yeah, and it feels like new, and your brain starts, oh, what if I tried this? What if I tried that? So the creative process starts. So it's very good. Yeah, for me it was a surprise because I never thought that the course is ADHD friendly. You know, it was a surprise, but it's a good surprise definitely. And if it helps, it's beautiful, then it's perfect.
Talking about beautiful things. Now, my dear wife, I'm gonna put you through the style shifter time machine. I think very few people know how you were before the Wonder Wardrobe YouTube channel and Instagram, and like now they see the style you usually have now in the past, I don't know, 5 to 7 years. But I'm also very curious because I didn't know your style before we met. So I'm really curious, what did Daria wear in the past? What were her style goals in the past?
My style goals. I had no style goals. Well, if we talk about my early 20s, I guess, because that's when I started working in fashion. My first fashion job was an internship in Cosmopolitan magazine. I was a assistant of a stylist, but it was nice, and that's the first time when I was exposed to fashion people. So I was like, "Ooh, I can be cool and fashionable just like them." So that's when I think I started buying a lot of clothes
Like everyone else.
because I thought that's how you become stylish, because you have a lot and you like all the time you're different and you're a stylist, you need to look like a stylist, you need to be the most noticeable person in the room, right? So
Yeah.
everybody like, oh, she's a stylist.
But did anyone ever say to you, I don't know, like, oh, you're wearing this again, or like this repeat outfit drama? Did it ever occur? Or no, I mean,
Well,
in such a style intensive workplace, did people notice or?
I don't think I ever repeated
I
my
know.
outfits back then. I don't think so. I don't think so. I was wearing just like whatever I wanted, all fast fashion. And then I went to study in Italy, and that's when everything changed.
Hi, beautiful listener. Call me a dreamer, but I still believe that with the right knowledge, fashion can be an easy, fun way to express ourselves, to communicate our values, and shine on a daily basis. If you are tired of needlessly looking for the right top, outfits, or have no clue what to wear to that next event, I just want you to know that I'm here for you through my highly tailored personal shopping consultation. Just hop onto wonder-wardrobe.com to book your free intro call. Let's start the stylish transformation with a friendly chat, just like the one you are listening to here. Who knows, your dream wardrobe might just be a conversation away.
First of all, I'm in Italy. People dress up
Milan.
in Milan. Oh my God. I think the first week I was just so blown away by how different everyone looks like. You know, they didn't really go for fast fashion that much back then. It wasn't that popular. I mean, Italy, they love Italian clothes and Italian craftsmanship, so they would rather buy something more expensive and durable and wear it for many, many years, you know? So it was kind of like, I even remember I was sitting on some piazza with cappuccino, and I was like, oh wow, you can really dress the way you want and no one say anything.
But does this mean that, I don't know, back then, I don't know, right now in Milan, we haven't been there in a few years. Were they really interested in trends back then? Like, or did they have local trends? Or I don't know, like, what made it so special? What made them so confident in just dressing a bit more tailored, a bit more expensive? Local brands, probably, right? But did they take notice of trends? Did they care at all?
I would say some people, yes, definitely, but those were mostly people from fashion industry, because Milan is a very big shopping mall with a lot of fashion people that work in fashion. Yeah, so part was very fashionable and another part was more kind of like where I wear whatever I want and I'm proud of it. That's when I understood that, oh my God, I can actually allow myself to wear something else, whatever I want. And then studying fashion with just like super experienced fashion professionals, my teachers, my mentors, they were never wearing any trendy items. They were always wearing something extraordinary, like.
So they would rather create trends than wear trends.
Exactly, never. And our main teacher for fashion image consulting was an amazing professional. And at some point, some lesson, it was about our image, like how we should look in front of clients. And she went to every single one of us and told us, kind of like reviewed our style. Yeah.
Tragic.
And it was like so brutal, brutal truth, you know? And some girl, she was very young, maybe 20. I mean, I was also 21, so yeah, so also very young. She came to her and she was like, "You cannot dress like this in front of the clients." She was just like, "This is not okay. This is all cheap. I can see this is all H&M. You're not gonna get any clients wearing this stuff." And the girl, she got so offended. She was like, "Oh my God, that's just horrible. I wear what I want, and that's what I can afford." And she was like, "No, no, all of this can be one nice dress."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after this cold shower that you also probably got.
Oh yes.
What happened? How did your past style evolve back then? How did it make you change? What did you realize? Was it big changes, small changes? What was the most important lesson? Maybe someone can also apply it.
Well, for me, they were shaping me as a professional. Yeah, so. And I'm very grateful for that, because obviously I went there like a little girl and I came back looking like I'm a professional. So it was a huge change. I came there. I had blonde hair. I had mostly all my clothes were like gray and beige, crazy. And I came back home in a year, and I had a short haircut, red hair. I had completely different makeup and completely different colors. I was wearing suits. I was wearing like tailored things. Mm. It was very polished. It was tailoring was impeccable. Yeah. So two completely different people. I remember my mom saw me first time after I came back. She was like, "What? Who is this?
This is my daughter."
Who is that? Yeah. And then I never went back from that. I mean, I had periods when I was getting back to fast fashion and then coming back, and I was like, "No, I cannot." I pull myself out there, mm-hmm. you know, and then it gets you back in there. So it was like quite a struggle. But after Milan, I definitely invested in my wardrobe. I didn't have a lot of money, and I didn't have yet that many clients, but I bought three outfits in secondhand. Everything was Prada, because I was obsessed with Prada, still a big fan. Everything was Prada. Spent all my money on there. Only three outfits. And these three outfits I was wearing for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was meeting my clients only wearing these three outfits, mm-hmm. because I knew that's the status symboling is there, the image that I need to pursue is there. It's not overdressed. I don't look like a fashion student anymore. I look serious, although I was very young. Yeah, so that helped. And maybe it makes sense for some people that don't work in an office but have meetings with private clients. Yeah, so it might be a good decision to just invest in very good pieces, not that many, yeah, and meet your clients wearing that, mm-hmm. instead of like just, I don't know, some unprepared, weird, fast mm-hmm. fashion things.
This looks like a stepping stone towards your present style. I mean, it's not all Prada, obviously, anymore. You still have clients, you still travel. You still have a few outfits prepared for that, but I feel like your style has taken another step, has evolved into the... So now, in the style shifter, we would be in the present. How would you say was the transition from that to this? Are there any lessons that you took with you, any lessons that anyone else can learn or apply in transitioning their style to a maybe different age? Maybe age had an impact on your style.
Well, I don't think that age did a lot in terms of my style change, but I definitely changed my style, because I changed countries. you kind of need to adapt a little bit to the culture, to
the weather.
Yeah, so that's definitely influenced my style, became more casual. High heels completely disappeared. So it's kind of like the core is still there. I still love tailored things. I still like more minimalist designs. So that I'm sitting like in the most colorful,
colorful
jacket ever. I still love unique pieces. It's just the main thing that changed are the stores where I buy my clothes. Yeah, so I completely ignore mass market or any overhyped brands because I don't really want to look like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I am a fashion professional, so that means already that implies that I know better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can't just wear trendy things, or that's like for fashion students or like fashionistas mm-hmm. on Instagram. They should.
What's the story behind this colorful jacket?
Oh, I love this jacket. It's from a Portuguese designer. Bought it in a market. There is a market that happens like four times per year near Lisbon. You can just take a train for 15 minutes and you're there. It's called Estoril.
Estoril, yes.
Estoril. There is a market, a lot of local Portuguese brands. I was with my husband, the other one. No, with this one.
I was paying so much attention, obviously.
Yes. And you were the one who was like, get this jacket, because I didn't want to buy it because I thought I already have...
Because you never want to buy anything.
No, I never want to buy anything because I have enough. And it's very hard for me to... not hard, it's just like, I'm like, man, you know, another thing. But I tried it on, I was like, So when you start like dancing or like posing... It's a sign that you need this item, yeah, because it definitely makes you happier. So why not? I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. It really brightens you up. It's really, I love the palm trees, the details, and you can see it's really well made. Really well made.
Oh yeah, it's very good.
So what about the future? Mm-hmm. What is Daria's style in the future? What goals do you have for your future style or? What would you like? Where would you see your style evolving in the next 10 years?
I mean, I'm very open. But yeah, I've started kind of in the summer. I bought some nice pieces, hand-dyed, beautiful linen, handmade, was made to order from India. So I'm kind of starting the process. So mm-hmm. I think maybe in like 4 or 5 years, I will have a completely different wardrobe. And I hope it will include a lot of interesting artistic items. Yeah, but you never know. Life changes, so you never know. So I'm open.
Yeah, nice, nice. Before we wrap it up, is there anything you feel you should mention about Style Shifter or Wonder Wardrobe or I don't know, something that maybe I didn't ask? Because we completely didn't prepare this. She actually told me in the morning, it's like, don't show me the questions. Don't ask me. I don't want to know the questions.
Yeah, because you start overthinking. I start. I'm like, oh, let's see what I should say. How to say it. So I don't like to prepare. And that's why I love the Style Shifter, because it's always like a mystery. I never know what the story will be, where it will take us, you know. So it's very interesting to make. Well, the Style Shifter podcast, I think, will continue. I have big plans for the next season. I think we will start
in spring.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but I would say that it would mean a lot if you can leave a comment, press like, share Style Shifter episodes to your friends, because that's how, you know, we can spread the stories of all these brave women that came to this podcast and shared their story. And I think it's so important, and there is nothing like that out there. Let's keep it going, and we can only do it if you help us, right? And with the Wonder Wardrobe, well, we try our best to continue.
More women. To help more women.
To help more women, to continue. Of course, we will not stop, even though it's sometimes not easy.
Maybe before we go, maybe you tell us about one outfit that made you feel amazing.
Oh, there were so many.
Mm-hmm. So let's say we go out in Lisbon for a date night. Uh-huh. Yeah, what would be from your past, present, or what would be the, what would you wear? We go to Boa Vista Social Club, we have some nice dinner, we dance a bit, we walk next to the river, sunset, in summer. I mean, it's mostly summer all the time, so it doesn't matter. It would be an outfit that will make you feel amazing.
I have this very cool dress that I don't have enough occasions to wear. It's has this kind of like a latex sleeves. Remember that dress?
Yes.
Actually, we went out as when we came to Lisbon, and one of the first nights we went out, I was wearing that dress. Yes. I made my hair. I put a lot of perfume because it was like the first, almost the first time we went out after the pandemic. And yeah. I went all in. I'm gonna look amazing tonight.
It was between lockdowns. We didn't know. We didn't know when it's gonna happen again.
Yeah, exactly. And I wore that dress because very cool, very grungy, with high boots, with my long wool coat. It was pretty cool.
So besides this, the sleeves, the what? How else can you describe the dress? How? What is the? What is the
dress? A midi dress. It has a checkered pattern, has a belt, so waistline is defined. It's a short dress, so kind of like with buttons on the front.
Has a collar.
Has a collar, yeah, and it has this black latex
sleeves,
very voluminous, very cool. It's from the Lithuanian brand. It's called Defect, the brand.
Mm-hmm. Those. Mm-hmm. And what color? Were there multiple colors?
It's like black and beige.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I should wear it tomorrow.
Well, like you always tell your guests, I hope that all your next outfits, art-inspired outfits, mm-hmm. are going to make you feel like this dress.
Well, I hope so too.
Thank you for being here with us and with yourself on the Style Shifter podcast. I guess we'll see everyone next season in spring.
And there we have it, Style Shifters. Another journey through the fashion time machine has come to an end. I hope you found today's stylistic exploration insightful and that it has sparked a shift in your own fashion perspective. It's been an absolute pleasure guiding you through the past, present, and future of fashion decisions today. As always, I'm Daria, your conscious guide into the world of style shifting. See you on our next styling adventure.